formed against me shall prosper. It won't work, no.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. I want to thank you for joining us here at WWDB 860 AM Talk Radio. My name is Reverend Lee West, and I'm your host for A Heart for the People Christian Ministry. Well, today is a special day. We want to thank you for joining us, and we hope that your Sunday is going to be beautiful. We thank God for another day. Today, we're going to be talking about a very serious situation. We're going to be talking about mental illness. We're going to be talking about grief. We're going to be dealing with a situation that has affected a lot of our teenage children. And I have a special guest with me today. My wife is joining me today, and we're going to just get a response from her on a mother's perspective on what she sees is going on and what is happening. As of late, we have sat down and discussed, as you know, we've lost a daughter. About 6 years ago, she was murdered, and we are now seeing the effects of grief, depression, and somewhat mental illness with her sibling, our son. It's very hard to deal with this and just sit there and watch. So we are going to seek as much help as we can, because this can be a dangerous thing. Some of the things that we're dealing with is withdrawal. And when I say withdrawal, withdrawing from school, activities, mood changing, seeming to get upset about things very quickly, very easily, and even breaking down. And as parents, you get frustrated because you've already lost a daughter, and now you feel like you're being victimized all over again because of what he's dealing with because of her murder. So I'm just going to ask my wife, and her name is Kim Young West. Kim, we want to thank you for being here with us today. We just want to ask you, from your perspective, how do you feel about what's going on?
Well, as a mother, you know, when you give birth, you know, your children run to you for like little boo-boos, you know, when they just want a hug, or they just, you know, for everything, you know, even, you know, when they want to know where dad is, they'll ask mom. So it's a hurt piece when your child is hurting and you don't know what to do. You know, you hug them, you hold them, you try to say the right things, but it's still hurting, you know, you, because you can't make that boo-boo go away. Mm-hmm. You know, our son is grieving for his sister. You know, he misses her. I mean, he stated several times he wants to be with her. And, you know, and I talked to him. I said, well, you know, you have us here, you know, and I have to explain to him, your sister would not want you to be like this. She was happy, you know. Even her issues, she always had a smile on her face. She always, you know, was just jolly. And I just pray, basically. I just, you know, as the song says, you know, when you have nothing left but God, you have enough. I pray, because I have nothing left. So I have to go to God. I have to ask him to help me to deal with this situation and to help me deal with me, you know, as far as it's not about me, you know, it's about our child, and I need to be fully equipped to help him.
That's good. That's good. And we are both working together. We are in prayer for our son. You know, you don't want to see anything happen. There's just so much going on out in this world. As of late, I've heard at least two or three within the last 3 weeks suicide attempts. No, I'm sorry, suicides. One was a police officer who took his own life. And then there was a deacon that we had met not too long ago who kind of does the same thing that we do with parents of murdered children. And his son committed suicide. Sometimes, you know, we just don't know what's going on. It says, when a family member is struggling with depression, anxiety, and mental health issues, it can be very scary. It's very scary because you don't know how to attack it. You don't know what direction to go in. You need to just show them love. You need to be with them. You need to let them know that you're there for them. Sometimes children, when somebody has passed away in a family, especially a sibling or a mother or a father, they tend to feel that they're left out, that they're left alone. So what we want to do is, what I'm going to begin to do is start promoting this grief, depression, mental illness awareness. Some might call it being an advocate, and that's what I'm looking for, because right now that the situation has hit home and you're learning firsthand, you're seeing firsthand what is taking place, you want to step in, but you don't want to step too hard because you don't know how they're going to react. I know, just for an example, my wife said something to my son and he just broke down in tears, you know, and you try to help him and nothing's wrong. And he just started crying. And that to us was a sign that there is something going on, that there is definitely something wrong. How do you feel about that?
Well, yeah, there is something going wrong because it's not him, you know. Coming up as a child, he always was smiling, funny, you know, laughing, enjoying life. And now you have this. I mean, yes, teenagers are moody, but this is a different type of moodiness. This is like one minute he may be smiling, and the next minute it's like he's short with you. And I'm like, what's going on? Nothing, Mom. Nothing's going on. And then he's crying. But nothing's going on. So, and then, you know, he used to let me, I would just go and give him a hug. Then it's like, no, Mom, I don't want a hug. I don't want you to hug me, you know. And it's like he's backing away. It hurts me as a mother, but then I know it's not me, you know.
Yeah, and I think that's very important. I'm glad you said that parents need to understand, don't take it personally. Your child or your loved one is going through something. And I've always said on the air and in our meetings with POMC that people grieve differently. Children grieve differently than adults. Husbands grieve differently than wives. Sisters grieve differently than brothers. The thing is, you cannot reject them. You have to accept it because that's how they're going to deal with it. You can advise, you can show them a better way, but do not shut them out. One of the things that I stress, and it's very important, when you see something like this going on with your child, don't chalk it up as, oh, they're just acting out. Oh, they're just looking for attention. No. They're going through something. They're trying to deal with what they've lost, their grief, the best way that they know how. So some of the signs that you look at of grieving of children and adolescents is sadness, profound emotional reactions, anxiety attacks, chronic fatigue, anger, thoughts of suicide. Now, I can sit here right in front of my wife, and we've seen that. We've seen that. We've heard him say things like that. Other signs, a feeling of anger, denial, shock, confusion, extended depression with loss of interest in daily activities and events. It's happening. We have mothers in our group. You know, my daughter's withdrawing from school. She comes home and goes straight to her room and shuts the door. Doesn't associate with anybody, doesn't really talk to anybody. And these are some of the signs that we are seeing at home. Boisterous play, inability to sleep. That's another one. You know, he comes in and he might be up till 2-3 in the morning. It might be all night sometimes, you know. So these are signs that we are dealing with. Nightmares, loss of appetite, prolonged fear of being alone. Withdrawal from friends, sharp drop in school performance, and refusal to attend school. I retired from the school district of Philadelphia. I was a police officer for the school district. And one of the things that I stressed to teachers is you don't know what that child is dealing with. You don't know when they come to school in the morning. They might be smiling on the outside, but you don't know if they're hurting on the inside. You don't know what they went through with their parents that morning. You don't know what happened the night before. I learned so much in my time at the school district. I never realized that children come to school and they're homeless. I never realized that children come to school and they haven't eaten for the last 2 days, or they don't eat till they get to school because that's where they get their food from. And I used to see students continually go back and forth in the cafeteria up to the line, and they're putting food in their pockets. And now I'm beginning to understand, or I began to understand after some time, that our children are going through things that we have no idea. So when we jump on them, when we yell at them, when we come at them about something they said or did, and we wonder why we get the response that we get, is because they may be going through something. And that's not every child. But I'm specifically talking about students who are just, they're not themselves. They're not acting the way they normally would or like a child should. Excessively imitating or asking, imitating or asking questions about the deceased. Repeated statements of wanting to join the deceased. Inventing games about dying. You know, we have things like TikTok and, you know, the knockout game and the choke game and some other stuff. And matter of fact, a little girl just died not too long ago. It was a suffocation game or something like that. And she hung herself in her closet. You know, she strung the thing up and the rope up or whatever and hung herself. This kind of stuff has got to stop. These kind of games, this is not a game. Life is not a game. When you stop breathing, you're done. There's no do-overs. There's no second chances. There's no, you know, oh, I made a mistake. When it's over, it's over. The issue that I have is I'm watching my son go through this, and his mother and I are trying to be there for him as much as he will allow us. And I have to say as much as he will allow us, because usually you'll say as much as I can. But if he or she does not let you in to be with them, then all you can do is stand by and wait. So I feel like this is important enough to where I'm going to be going to City Hall. Now that it's hit my front door, I'm getting a better understanding, and I'm looking at the dangers, and I'm looking at everything that's going on. So it's important that we come together as families, as parents, and we begin to reach out to our children. Watch them, observe them, see what they're doing, see what direction they're going in. You know, are they, say they're going to school and they're skipping school? Are they hanging out? Are they, you know, what are they doing? What are they doing different that they didn't used to do? Especially if they've lost a loved one. The questions about the deceased or repeated statements of wanting to join the deceased, especially when you have a sister and brother. My wife is going to, you know, it's crazy, but we both have experienced him saying, I don't want to be here anymore. I want to be with Robin. So how does that make you feel, Mom?
It's kind of hurtful, but like I explained to him, you know, I explained to him, I said, yeah, you remember Robin. I said, do you ever remember her not smiling and not enjoying life and not being, you know, present? And he was like, no. He was like, she always smiled. And I said, well, that's the way she really was. I said, unfortunately, she was very trusting, you know, and that got her into trouble. I said, but she was happy, you know. I said, and she would never want her brothers or her siblings to live life unhappy. She would never want you to grieve her for the rest of your life. She wants you to strive to be the best you that you can be. Be a good human, you know. I said, she wouldn't want that. I said, keep a smile on your face. I said, but you have to think, what would she want me to do? And you know that she would not want you to be unhappy.
That's right. That's right. We, when we do a before and after, we're looking at our son before, vibrant, excitable, laughing, beautiful smile, compliments from all his teachers and what have you, to where we are now, where you get a smile once in a while, secluded in his room, not much laughter, not really wanting to be around anyone. He does have certain friends or his girlfriend that he, you know, likes to hang around. But other than that, he used to go out all the time, our concern now is he goes out, and we worry about with all the violence that's going on in our city, we just want to make sure that he gets home safely. As parents, we love our son. We love our daughter. We don't want to lose him to the streets because of what happened to her. So we are now in the process of seeking some kind of help. This is, goes beyond grief. Now we're talking about psychological with depression, and we're talking about mental illness, which we know can lead to some dangerous things. So as I said before, repeated statements of wanting to join the deceased, inventing games about dying. I haven't seen that with him. Acting much younger for an extended period of reverting to earlier behaviors, such as bedwetting, baby talk, or thumb sucking. So these are things that we need to look out for, that we need to be aware of as we move forward. As parents, I say to this to you, take the time, if you've lost a child and that child has siblings, take the time to speak with them. It's important that fathers are present. It's important that mothers are present. And I'm going to ask my wife from a mother's prospect, what would she do? What could she do? What could she say? Because I know there's mothers out here. We watched the news this morning about our mother. Her 19-year-old son was shot 27 times right on his doorstep. Three guys came around the corner and ambushed him. How do you deal with that? And every time you walk out of your front door, you remember where his body was laying at. How do you deal with that? How do you cope with that? And if he has siblings, how do you keep them from getting hurt? What can you say to them to keep them from something happening to them? We are living in a time where we can no longer say it's the city's fault, it's the doctor's fault, it's the school's fault. We are parents, and these children did not ask to be here. So we have to love them. We have to take care of them. We have to be responsible for them. We have to show them the way they need to go when they don't know which way to go. So my wife is, I just wanted you to tell them from a mother's perspective, based on what I said, what could you offer a mom who might be going through? What would you say?
Pray. That's the only thing I can think about is, you know, you have to pray, because you have to pray your strength so that you can help your child. You know, you have to pray over them every day. And as far as this, you know, the violence and stuff, the children, and I say children because these are children holding guns, real guns. And I always question, where are the parents of these children? You know, do you not know that your child at 14, 15 years old is out at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning? And where are you? So we have to be present in our child's lives also so that we know where they are at all times. And no 14, 15, 16, or either 17-year-old child should be out at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, and you not know where they are, and they're not in an adult hands. But, you know, as far as a mother, you hold your child every now and then. Tell them that you love them constantly, every day.
Absolutely.
You know, they walk out the door. All right, see you later. Love you. Love you too, you know. Talk them to them on the phone. Even our older children, we tell them we love you. And they tell us, you know, love you. You know, that's, it's like almost a battle who's going to say it first. So, you know, you have to pray. We have to pray not only our children, other people's children too, because obviously people are given children and they're not, you know, doing their jobs. You know, so we have to pray our strength to help all these children. It breaks my heart every day to watch the news and find out that another child has died by another child. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's a hurt piece, you know, so I'm praying constantly. I pray walking down my hallway, in the shower, whenever, you know, when they say pray without ceasing, these are the times that we have to pray without ceasing. You know, just pray.
Amen. I want to thank you for that. You know, the sense of being out of control that is often a part of grief may overwhelm or frighten some teens. grieving is normal and healthy. Now, it says grieving is normal and healthy. As far as I'm concerned, there's nothing normal about grieving. Grief is relentless. Grief will show up at dinner. Grief will show up in church. Grief will show up. You can go to Great Adventure, go to the amusement park. Grief is going to show up. There's always something that is going to remind you of what you're dealing with and what you're going through. There's always something that's going to remind you of that loved one. It could be a song, could be a smell, could be a something you see in the store, something that you, it could be anything. Anything is going to remind you. My wife and I have been out laughing, joking, having a good time, and then bam, all of a sudden I start crying. And she knows what's going on. The thought of my daughter enters my mind. We've been in a supermarket shopping, and I just start breaking down. So I don't know about normal or healthy, yet may be an experience teens resist and reject. At times, you might feel sadness, anger, anxiety, guilt, or despair. At other times, you might feel relief, love, gratitude, tenderness, and hope. Try to be aware of your feelings and how they come and go. And they do that. As I said before, you could be laughing and joking one minute, the next minute, tears are rolling down your face. What's wrong? Oh, I'm thinking about Robin. In 2019, I lost my dad. 2016, my wife lost her mom. Every day we go through this. We think about this. We get up thinking about it. We go to bed thinking about it. How I wish they were here. How I miss them so much. So I don't know. To me, there's nothing normal or healthy about grief. I think grief can be very dangerous. I think if it's not caught or treated accordingly, it can lead to some things that you really don't want to get into. So, but that's their idea. Try to accept how you feel instead of thinking you should feel a different way. I don't know about trying to feel different or thinking you should feel different. Grief hurts and it's very painful. And even in our group with Central Philadelphia Parents of Murdered Children, we talk to moms who just, you know, what do I do? I think about my son. I think about my daughter all the time. I miss them so much. And when people say things like that, I think it's a situation where they don't truly understand what you're feeling because they've never had to deal with it. And even though they mean well, oh, it'll be okay. Things will be all right. They're gone, but you have other family here. That doesn't help. That hurts. And sometimes that hurts even more. But as I said before, they mean well, but they just don't know what to say. So when we're dealing with our child, you know, they say, what does grief look like in a teenager? An empty feeling in the stomach and a loss of appetite. Guilt over something said and or done. Or something left unsaid or undone. Anger and lashing out. Or others sometimes, or sometimes at any time for no reason. Intense anger at the deceased for dying. Now, that's something, you know, you don't hear too much of, but is he angry at my daughter because she's dead? Why did you leave me? You didn't even say goodbye. Things like that go through your mind. The deceased for dying and later feelings of guilt for being angry. Then we go back to why is grieving especially difficult for teens? Adolescence is difficult at the best of times, and those struggles make teen grief particularly complex. While younger siblings may not comprehend enough to feel the full weight of the death, and adults may have some healthy coping mechanisms, teenagers do not have either or the of those factors working in their favor. Their minds are going a mile a minute. They're not sure what's going on. They're not sure why this happened. Wait a minute. I was just talking to her yesterday. What happened? And I think that's the problem. And I think one of the biggest issues is, even with parents, is the why question. We all want to know, why did this happen? Why did he do this to our daughter? Why is our son going through this? Because now that we've lost her, we're fighting not to lose him. And this is very important. You can't let this go by the wayside. My wife says all the time, hurt people hurt people, if you understand what I'm saying. Hurt people will hurt other people just to get rid of that rage, just to get rid of that anger. So it's important that we pay attention to our children, we pay attention to what's going on. So I want to take this time to thank you for joining us. I want to thank my wife. This was on the cuff. I said, hey, come on, be on the radio. So I thank her for being here. As a mother, it's hard. As a father, it's hard. But we have to stick together as a family. And family at this point is very important. Siblings need to rally around each other, support each other, and be there for each other. So today is a good day. We thank God for the show. We thank God for you being here. This is Reverend Lee West on WWDB 860 AM Talk Radio. We want to thank you for joining us here, A Heart for the People Christian Ministry. God bless.